In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And we are in the middle of Exodus chapter 4, looking through this amazing book. And as we journey through Exodus, we are going to learn about who God is and how He is going to deliver His people, the Israelites, from a promise that He made long ago to Abraham. Now, we're at Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We just wrapped up our last time with these amazing signs that God is giving to Moses to show the elders of Israel that he has truly met God and that God is going to deliver them from the bondage of Egypt. The first sign was a fearful creature. It was turning the rod that Moses had in his hand into a fiery serpent. The second sign was the sign of leprosy, where Moses put it in his shirt, and when he pulled it out, it was full of leprosy. He repeated that, and next time it came out perfectly clean. But now we come to the third miracle, verse 9. Let me read. "And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." Now, why these three signs? And the answer is to show completeness. The number three is a significant number, as you know. God's a Trinity. Many things in the Bible are three. And so when you see three things in a row, it's to show completeness. And truthfully, what God's saying is, look, after these three signs, if you don't believe, a fourth sign will not make a difference. But let's talk about this miracle, this water into blood. Now, water and blood are two symbols of life. We can't live without both of them physically. If you got no water in a few days, you will die. And without blood, you will die as well. But in this context, they speak of judgment. Why do I say that? Well, let me give you some insights. Revelation 16:4. "Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood." When you see water turn into blood, you're talking life into death. And this would become really a foreshadow of all that would happen. Certainly the first sign, when Moses will appear and turn the waters of the Nile into blood, as the first miracle and first plague. So this is really speaking of judgment. Now, what is the purpose of signs and miracles? And what's fascinating is that this is the first series of miracles in the Bible, really substantial amount of miracles. And why is that? Because we do see some other miracles. Like, for example, we see the next major outburst of miracles, Elijah and Elisha. And then the third set of miracles in the Bible would be Jesus and the disciples. Here we have Moses, but soon it'll be Moses and Joshua. So you get this incredible pairing up of two individuals, the beginning of miracles and the ending. Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Jesus, and the apostles. But what is the purpose of these miracles? Why now? What do they accomplish? And what it is, it's an inauguration of something new and significant related to God and His kingdom. Now, we just covered the three major periods of miracles. And as I said, Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, Christ and His disciples. Now, 2 Corinthians 12:12 speaks of these miracles. And it says, "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." Now, these three signs are to further demonstrate that God is with Moses, that Moses is an authentic, genuine mouthpiece for God Himself. Exodus 3:12, He said, "I will certainly be with you," God says to Moses, "and this shall be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." The question, is there a larger connection between these signs? First, the signs are for the Israelites to believe. So don't miss that is the primary purpose, to help them believe that the messenger who is sent and the message he's delivering is to be believed. Second, the signs foreshadow judgment for the Egyptians. A serpent, leprosy, which is disease, and then finally the water into blood. Third, one might see another possible connection, and I really love this. Now, step back and just listen to these three words in the order I'm going to give them to you. Serpent, sin, blood. Does that sound familiar to you? It sounds like the picture of the gospel. The serpent came, man sinned, and blood was required for a sacrifice. Now, again, I don't want to go too far. I don't want to see this as an allegorization of the text, but I do find it fascinating that these three symbols, which are repeated over and over through the scriptures, would be repeated here in a particular order. And I think it's just a great reminder that God is working redemption. He's going to redeem the Israelites, and one day he's going to redeem his people, not through a deliverance from a great empire that has them in bondage, but from the greater bondage of sin. Now let's go to verse 10, where Moses is going to continue in excuse. This is excuse number 4. Then Moses said to the Lord, and by the way, after he's seen the three miracles, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Now, what's going on here, Moses? Moses comes full circle. He started with himself, his past and his failings. Then God helped him shift the focus back onto him. But now Moses is shifting the focus back onto him. And so when God overcomes Moses' objections with the miracles and the signs, he's got to go back to his own weaknesses and shortcomings. Now, what's the application for us? In the presence of God, we will see our shortcomings. And this is a great truth. If you want to grow in the Lord, then get in the Word. Come face to face with your Creator and Redeemer. Don't flee from His Word, but embrace those truths and be brutally honest with yourself. When you're reading God's Word and that Word convicts you of sin, confess that sin. Turn from that sin. That is the only way you're going to grow. Coming face to face with God and His Word, that is the only way to know who you really are. And the truth is, when you see and understand God more clearly, you're going to see and understand yourself more clearly as well. Suddenly, as you see yourself in front of the infinite God, you will see how finite you are. I tell people all the time, you can only grow up to your point of disobedience. And the only way to see your disobedience is when another brother and sister in the Lord confront you with the Word of God, or you open up God's Word and you see your sin and you confess it. Now, this next section has to do a lot with speech, which is fascinating because that's where Moses goes. He says, "Look, I'm not eloquent." And so this whole section is all about words and speech. In fact, speak is used in Exodus 4, 10, 12, 14, and 16 4 times. Mouth or speech is used 7 times, and the word tongue is used 1 time in this section. So the question is, does Moses really have a problem with speaking? And later he would say, Exodus 6:12, "But Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, 'Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech.'" So he reminds God later he's unskilled. Exodus 6:30, "Moses said before the Lord, 'Behold, I'm unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?'" Unskilled in speech, when you look at the Hebrew, it's a pretty colorful expression. It means uncircumcised of lips. In other words, he's got fleshly, fat lips that just don't work. In fact, here's what Stephen said in Acts 7:22. And this is fascinating. "Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds." Now, you may say, well, that's probably later. It's true, Moses did get bolder as the narrative unfolds, but it's not like he suddenly became unskilled. The skill was always there. So the answer to the question, does Moses have a problem with speaking? Absolutely not. Exodus 2:13, he went out the next day. Behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other, and he said to the defender, why are you striking your companion? I mean, he knows how to intercede in a conflict. He knows how to start a conversation. Now, let's look at our own life. When it comes to witnessing, aren't we the same way? So before you throw Moses under the proverbial chariot, this is the number one fear today. If someone were to ask you, what's your most difficult part of witnessing? What is something you struggle with when you're witnessing? It's speaking up. In fact, I would say today, if we still use this expression today, this would be on the lips of all Christians. I'm uncircumcised of lips. I'm afraid to speak up and to say, what will I say? I'm not good at speaking to strangers. So just like Moses with his excuse, you and I, well, we have the same excuse, don't we? But it doesn't have to be that way. If you rest on the power of God, if you memorize scriptures, if you practice, God will give you strength to overcome your fears, and he will help you grow in your skill so that you will be used of God. And let me just remind you, if God can take a donkey and make it speak, he can help you speak. All right, so let's look at how God responds to Moses' fourth excuse. And I love it. It just goes right to the heart. This is Christ, gentle and yet honest. He's firm, but not wrathful. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. So God's response is, I'm the creator. I made that mouth. I installed it. I arranged it. It works. And if it didn't work, I would have made it too. But look what he says. Who makes the mute, the deaf, seen, and blind? God takes away the ability, and he gives it as well. And this is a strong comparison to Moses. He is not so debilitated as one who is mute or deaf. He can make someone see as well as make someone blind and unable to see. Now, God is basically saying with this firm set of conversation, Moses, the conversation's over. I made your mouth. Go. So in verse 12, it's a command. Go. Get to work. I've called you. I've been patient with your excuses. I've answered all your objections reasonably, showed you some miracles, and I'm going to be there with you every step of the way. I'm going to be with your mouth. God will ensure he'll have the assistance he needs in every way imaginable. And furthermore, he says, I'll teach you what you will say. God will ensure he'll have all the words and all the wisdom in every way imaginable. Now, you would think, with all this, Moses would be ready to go. But I have some bad news. He's still going to give some more excuses. So, as we wrap up today's time in the Word, let me ask you a question. What excuses right now are you giving to God and saying to yourself to keep you from taking the next step of dealing with your sin or the next step of obedience? Take the time today, tomorrow, meditate and ask God to show you where you need to confess your sin and where you need to take the next step of obedience to fulfill his plan for your life.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.